Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. If you like what you hear in the Bible study today, there's 10 years worth of Bible studies available free of charge at john14:15.org. Now let's turn to today's Bible study. So let's go back to Hosea 5:15 and see what the rest of it said. I'll return again to my place until... He tells us when he's returning. Until they acknowledge their offense. Until the Jewish people repent and turn back to God. Why haven't they been restored yet? They have not yet repented. When does all Israel repent? In Romans 11:26, which says, "And all Israel shall be saved." When does that get fulfilled? That's at Gog and Magog. It's in the tribulation period. That's when Messiah returns. When all Israel repents and turns back to him. So it says right here in Hosea, written all those thousands of years ago, "I return again to my place until they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face." When will they seek my face? When they acknowledge their offense. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. That word affliction refers to the tribulation period, when the wrath of God gets poured out. Let's look at some of the references for this. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 43, answers the question, "Wayne, how do you know Psalm 110:1 is about Messiah, Yeshua?" Answer, he tells us so. Matthew 22, verses 43-45. Saying, "Who do you think, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit," meaning in the Holy Spirit, in prophecy, "call him Lord? Who normally calls the other Lord, the Father or the child?" One more time. The child calls the Father Lord. Yep. So, if Messiah is the son of David, why does David call him Lord? Because he came before him. That's what it's about. Saying, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand so I make your enemies your footstool." If David then calls him Lord, how is he a son? In other words, Messiah came before David, even though he descends from David. That makes him what? That makes him God. And so in verse 46, no one was able to answer him a word, and they shut up, didn't ask any more questions. What is a Jewish tendency? You answer a question with a... questions. They're not going to ask him anymore because he asked two hard ones. They're just too hard. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 35. Mark just puts it a little differently. Then Yeshua answered and said, he taught in the temple, "How is it that the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand to make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore David calls him Lord. How is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. That's why I wanted to include Mark. The Pharisees react one way. They're offended. But the common people, they get the point. They say, yeah. Let's go back to Matthew 23 for a moment. Because like Hosea, who says that Messiah will return when the children of Israel repent, we find that in Matthew 23 also. Verses 37-39. If anybody's surprised that we find the same things in the Old Testament and the New Testament, keep watching. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. That I in verse 37 tells us, who sent the prophets? Messiah sent the prophets. Susie, you all try and answer that in a little while. Verse 38 says, see, your house is left you desolate. The word house there refers to the temple, that the temple is going to be destroyed. In 70 AD, 40 years after the crucifixion it was. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So until Israel in Jerusalem cries out for the Lord to return, he's not returning. Why has Satan tried to wipe out the Jewish people for the last 6,000 years? So they can't call out for Messiah to return. Messiah can't return. Satan wins. God loses. How many of you read the end of the book? Satan's in for a surprise, isn't he? Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 20. Verse 42. All three synoptic gospels refer to this saying by the Lord. Luke chapter 20, we'll start in verse 41. And he said to them, how can they say the Messiah is the son of David? Now David himself said in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till to make your enemies your footstool. Therefore David calls him Lord. How is he then his son? Many people say the New Testament never says Yeshua is God. What does it mean that he comes before David, who is his ancestor? Yeah. And that's why he says in John chapter 10, I and my Father are one. And when the disciples asked to be seen, to be shown the Father, to see the Father, what does he say? Yes. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Yeah. Let's go next to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let's get out of the Gospels. Acts is after Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection. The teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees was that Psalm 110:1, the Lord said to my Lord refers to Israel, they say, not to the Messiah. How does Paul respond to that? Look at Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 34. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So Paul addresses two arguments at the same time. It's not talking about David, because David didn't ascend up to heaven. It's not talking about Israel, because neither did Israel. Who's the only one who ascended up to heaven to wait for the day of the Lord to come? That's Messiah. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know as surely that God has made this Yeshua, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They cried, crucify him, crucify him. And they now realize this was the Lord. This was Messiah. You see, what are we supposed to do? What's the first thing Peter says? Repent. What does repent mean? Turn from your sins, turn back to God. What is sin? 1 John 3:4, sin is lawlessness. Sin is breaking the commandments of God. So Peter says, stop walking in sin. Stop breaking God's commandments and turn back to God and be obedient. Out of faith and out of love. Go to the book of Hebrews. No, I'm not talking about making coffee. Ha ha ha. Sometimes they're little bits of humor. Okay. Hebrews chapter 1. Oh, the light bulbs are going on. That's cool. Hebrews chapter 1. We're here for verse 13, but we're going to start in verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 8. But to the Son, do you see how Son is capitalized? That's talking about Messiah. He says, the word he there refers to God. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. So what does God call Messiah? God. You know what? He ought to know. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. So what does Messiah want you to do? To walk in righteousness or sin? In righteousness. Go down to verse 13. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? So it wasn't David that Psalm 110 was talking about. It wasn't Israel. It's not the angels. Yes, Edmund.
No, it's Sam. I'm sorry.
Oh, he's Sam.
In Hebrews 8 there,
yeah.
That's an Old Testament reference. Do you know where is that?
That is from, I think it's Psalm 45.
I have 45,
thank
six
you.
And
you have 45, 6, and 7. Let's go back and look. My memory's not always the best, but Kathy's is. So.
Well, I wrote it down when you told us.
You wrote it down when I told you before. Okay. Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7. Yeah, says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you, etc. Yep, that's exactly where it's quoted from. Very good. Back to the book of Hebrews. To chapter 10. But this is in the New Testament. Yep, it sure is. Starting in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 10 is all about Messiah, Yeshua. What does the name Yeshua mean? Salvation. But this man, notice how man is capitalized. Whoops, let me give you a chance to find it. The other end of the Bible. Hebrews, not far before Revelation. We're in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, about Messiah. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's a reference to Psalm 110:1. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. You mean to tell me Paul had actually read the Old Testament? Yeah, he really had. Let's go back to Hosea chapter. Oh, no, let's not. Let's continue. Verse 15, there's a couple more. Let's go back to look at the word I want you to understand a little better. So back to Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. I said as we read through it, in their affliction, that their affliction referred to the tribulation period, but I didn't prove it yet. Be a Berean. Say, Wayne, prove it to me. That word affliction is not the word za'am, as it is in many other places talking about the tribulation period. This one is tsar, T-S-A-R, like the Tsar of Russia. Hebrew word 6862. What it means is trouble. Trouble. Turn back to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, where this word is also used. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, which is right where we happen to be on Friday night. What a coincidence. We'll start in verse 4 to make sure we understand the context of verse 7. So Jeremiah chapter 30. Verse You guys have the same Bible, huh? That's nice. I used to call out my page numbers, but nobody had the same Bible, so it didn't help. Jeremiah chapter 30, we'll start in verse 4. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. If it's Israel and Judah, it can only be talking about the day of the Lord, because Israel and Judah haven't been together for 2,700 years. It says, for thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Which means what? They are terrified. They're terrified. Alas, for that day is great. What day? The day of the Lord, the tribulation period. So there's none like it. And it's the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. That word trouble, that Jacob's trouble, is what we're talking about in Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. Go also to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel is the book right before Hosea. So if you left a finger in Hosea, turn back a few pages to Daniel 12. Verse 1. Daniel 12, verse 1 also refers to this time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 begins, at that time. At what time? The tribulation period. Michael, that's the archangel who keeps watch over Israel, shall stand up. Does that mean he's been on the beach drinking Mai Tais? No, it means it's time for war. It's time for action. The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. So if 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust, this is going to be worse. That was a third of the children of Israel died in the Holocaust. This is going to be worse.
And
yeah. Next Friday, I'm going to give you some statistics going all the way back to Rome. It's not just the Holocaust. Why does Satan want to wipe out the Jewish people? To keep Messiah from coming. So it says, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who's found written in the book, that's the Lamb's book of life. So all those from the children of Israel that are believers, they survive. Those that are not, they perish. How do I know it's worse? Go to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah is a few pages before Matthew. So if you hit Matthew 1, back up about 5-6 pages. Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9 teaches us the same thing as Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, as well as Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. It says, and it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die. In the Holocaust, 1/3 died. In the tribulation period, 2/3 will die. But 1/3 shall be left in it. I will bring the 1/3 through the fire. What's fire a picture of? Judgment. We'll refine them as silver is refined. You refine silver by putting it through the fire 7 times. How many years is the tribulation period? 7 years. So for the 7 years, the fire of God's judgment tries Israel to separate the true silver from the dross, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. So that third that come through are true believers saved by faith. And God will hear them. When it says that God will hear their prayers, that teaches us something about the change in their nature. Go to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. First time I understood Proverbs 28:9, my jaw hit the floor.
When you mentioned seven, when we talked about silver seven has something to do with silver and gold?
You put silver through the fire seven times to refine it. That's the way silver is refined. Yeah. And God just assumed we knew that. Proverbs 28, verse 9. Proverbs is right after Psalms. Ah, this time he's sharing the page number.
Teamwork.
That's right. Proverbs 28:9. I want you to put your eyes on it. Sometimes people say, Wayne, you could cover a lot more if you didn't wait for people to turn pages. But I want you to put your eyes on it. I want you to see it in your own Bible.
And we appreciate that.
Good. Proverbs 28:9 says, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, that Hebrew word for law is Torah, it's God's commandments, statutes, and judgments, even his prayer is an abomination. That means if you will not hear God's commandments, he will not hear your prayer. Now somebody say, but Wayne, that's Old Testament. Go to John chapter 9. It's in the New Testament too. John chapter 9, verse 31. John chapter 9, verse 31. Got it? All right. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. What is sin? 1 John 3, 4, lawlessness. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. You know what? I think that's the third time, maybe the fourth, that I've said 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, but I didn't have you go there. So turn to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 4. When I grew up in church, when we came across a word like sin, the pastor would go to the English dictionary and look up the word. Not the best way to understand a word in the Bible. In 1 John 3, 4, the Bible tells us what God considers to be sin. The pastor always said, sin means missing the mark. So since I didn't own a bow and arrow, I thought I was good. But it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. The word lawlessness, anomia, is against or contrary to nomos, the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God that we call the Torah or the law. Then look down at verse 10. Verse 10 is even more telling. How do you know a child of God from one who's not? In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. If one's not practicing righteousness, he's practicing lawlessness. And we saw Matthew 7:23. What Messiah had to say about that. So let's go back to Hosea chapter 6. Yes, sir. You find it interesting looking at different translations. 1 John 3, 4.
Even the contemporary English version. You know.
The contemporary English version, CEV, says?
It says that sin is the same as breaking God's law.
Sin is the same as breaking God's law.
These are the same versions that people use to say the law is a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets to the point and says that sin is breaking God's law.
Yep. What did Paul say? Paul said, where there is no law, sin is not imputed. So if the law was abolished when Messiah was crucified, buried, and resurrected, there hasn't been a sin since. If there hasn't been a sin, there are no sinners. If there are no sinners, no one needs a Savior. So do you see where the teaching the law has been abolished leads? I have a number one out here. Let me see. Somebody out and go to meeting and says, will you share reference for his will? We know Yeshua taught his Messiah taught his will. Yeah, look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Okay.
But also look at 2 Corinthians 6:14.
And okay, we'll also look at 2 Corinthians 6:14.
If they just want it for reference.
Oh, you know, I love that chapter anyway. There's certain traps I set for preachers when we're talking. And one thing I will ask once they've gotten through telling me how much they enjoy eating pigs, shrimps, and lobsters is why is there nothing in the New Testament that says don't eat them? And they give me all kinds of reasons, and I say, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6. Which says, of course, don't eat them. Verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Can you have righteousness and lawlessness and put them together? No. You'll walk in one or the other. What communion has light with darkness? What does the light represent? It's the light of Messiah, but that's the light of righteousness. Darkness, that's sin, that's lawlessness. What accord has Messiah with Belial? Anybody knows what a Belial is? Belial's a term for Satan. So can you have a little Messiah, a little Satan, put them both together into a sandwich? No, it doesn't work. Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart, and walk among them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, what does therefore mean? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, come out from among them, from the lawless, from the unbelievers. And be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. That means you can't eat it. Can't play with it. Don't make a toy out of it. Stop playing with your food. It's not food. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Uh-oh. What if we don't want to put aside the unclean things? I like my shrimps, my lobsters, my piggies. Isaiah 66 says, when Messiah returns, he's going to kill you himself.
Oh. Forget the catfish.
Yeah, don't forget catfish. Crawfish. Chapter 7, verse 1 says, therefore, because God says, come out from among them, be separate, don't touch what's unclean. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Where was it God said, be ye holy, for I am holy? Leviticus 11, which is about the clean and unclean foods. Okay. Let's go back to Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. You guys realize when the Bible was written, there were no chapter breaks, right? So the text just continues. It's the same topic. In verse 15, Israel, in the tribulation period, comes to face to face with the fact that there is a God in heaven. And the Bible is real. If there's anybody out there who doesn't know whether the Bible's real or not, look at 1 Kings chapter 13 and see how God names Josiah by name 400 years before he's born. And tells us he's going to be king of Judah, and exactly what he's going to do. And 400 years later, he's born, is king of Judah, and does exactly what God said he would do.